Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. In the mysteries in the Word again tonight. I'm going to be in this for a little while. I hope you're not bored with it. If you are, come and tell me what all the mysteries are, and I'll move on to something else. Because obviously you already know it. But this is where my heart's at, and we're going to be in Colossians tonight. I need to go all the way up, and it's hard to know where to jump in here and keep it in context. I'm going to start in verse 20 and read down through 23. I'll pray, then we're going to actually... The mystery we're concerned about is in verses, Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. And this isn't anything you don't know. I'm just going to point out, remind us of some things, okay? And this will help us. This will help us, I pray. You found Colossians 1 and 20, shout amen for me. Amen. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him. I should have just preached on by him tonight. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Hallelujah. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's real good right there. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Father, I love you, and I thank you for letting me be here tonight. And God, let us just touch a few little things here in your word, your precious word, your holy writ. Blessed be the name of the Lamb. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue. God, keep me inside the pages of the book. Touch your people. Let it fall on ears. Let the seed of the word find good ground, Lord. We thank you for being in church tonight. It's just good to be here. Give us health and strength. Enable us to come. We praise you for it. So God, touch us now in this place. We're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. Ask it in the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, we've done the mysteries, really the parables, the mysteries that Jesus gave in the parables was the first in the gospel order. He came first, you understand that. So, when I got started on that, and then I'm getting into, I'd like to call this mysteries of Paul, but it's not going to all be Paul, but most of it's going to be from the Apostle Paul, because Paul was the apostle to the... Thank you, somebody right there. So we know that. Now we know that the mystery is a hidden truth revealed at an appointed time. We're going to know. You're never going to forget that, because I'm going to say that every Sunday night. And you're going to know when somebody said, well, what's that mystery in the Bible? Say, well, said that was a hidden truth revealed at an appointed time. That's what that was. And when it come time for us to know it, God showed it to us. Here's the thing. Sometimes we're reading this Bible, we forget they didn't have the book. This was all brand new to them. People think, well, they just had to. No, the Bible was being written. So I'm going to try to go through these mysteries in the order in which they're fulfilled from the resurrection of Christ. Now, we know that the mystery we started with was 1 Timothy 3:16. By the way, I'm going to hit another 3:16 tonight before the night's over. There's a lot of chapter 3 and verse 16s in the New Testament that'll help you. But the mystery we covered first was the mystery of godliness. And that was simply Jesus, that was God manifested in the flesh. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. From one of these verses here, 24 through 29. But I want us to, Paul's writing to Colossae, and he's got false teachers there. And they're saying, why are you listening to this guy? Why would you listen to this fella? Who is he? And how does he know this? Well, you know why they didn't know it? Because it was a mystery. You know how they're going to know it? It's time for it to be revealed. It's the appointed time. God's going to give it to them. He's going to give them this knowledge, this understanding. He's going to give it to them from the hand of Paul. Paul's going to write the letter. It's going to be delivered. Okay? Now, tonight, some of you, your Bible may say, mystery of the indwelling. Does it, your heading say that? Anybody say that? No? Yeah. Then get you another Bible. It'll help you. Now, if it's a King James Bible, you'll be all right. And the reason I say that, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, I'm just going to say, if that's not what you use when you come in here, yours isn't going to read like mine. And we all got smoke. I think we've all got the same Bible. You know why I've got the same Bible? Because God's not the author of confusion. So I'm thinking, Jack Laster, one guy's on him real bad about the ESV and pouring it on old Jack. He's one of the college guys. And the English Standard Version, you know, and he's pouring it on Jack. And Jack said, hey, will this get me to heaven? And that guy said, well, of course it will. He said, that's where I'm getting off. Yeah. As far as I'm going. Verse 24. Now we read this. We come down through here. Paul's talking about what Jesus has done. Now he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Whoa. Paul's made a minister. Remember verse 23. The gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Man, I'm telling you. If us modern day Christians could get a hold of anything, it'd be this: suffer for somebody else, and we just don't care for suffering. I'm not volunteering for it, and I don't like it. But Paul said, he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. Why? For his body's sake, which is the church. Now I want us to notice a couple of things here. Suffering of Christ. The suffering of Christ, Paul said, it includes this. It's the head who's already suffered. And who's the head of the church? And it's also the suffering of the body. And at this time, we don't know in America today, we think if someone slams a door in their face or gets on us about wearing a certain t-shirt that says pray or I know him or Jesus saves or something, we think we've suffered real persecution. We don't know anything about persecution. We might have lost a job. They may get on to you at the schoolhouse. You may have difficulties in something you do in your daily routine, but we don't know about suffering. Let me tell you, Paul knew about suffering. These Christians in this particular era of time, they understood about suffering. So suffering, here's what it done. The suffering of Christ includes both the head and the members of the body. Now, I like this. I wish I'd thought of this on my own, but I got this from Clark or somebody. I've read so many this afternoon. Suffering was used as a means of spiritual influence. It still is today. Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. If you've never read that little book, you can read it in an hour. It isn't but about that thick. And it'll convict you. That's what it done to me. And Richard was in Romania when the communists was over there, and they tied him up. They put him in jail. Why did they put him in jail? He just preaching. He just telling people about Jesus. Made the commies mad. They put him into prison, tied him up, and beat the stuffings out of him. I mean, they beat him. They beat him. And you'll have to read the book. It's pretty graphic. I'll not go into all of it. But they beat the time out of him. And they said when they'd get through beating him, they'd let him down. And so he'd look at him and he'd say, I love you. You beat me because you're ignorant and you don't know. But I'm praying that God save you. And it drove those guys bonkers. They couldn't stand it. Some of them had beat him again. But you know what some of them done? Some of them come to him after they beat up on him and said, how can you do this? How can you say you love us after what we've done to you? Suffering is used as a means of spiritual influence. That's how he done it. He led some of them to the Lord. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. But Richard Wurmbrand done it. His little wife stayed at home, prayed for him the whole time he's in prison. They let him out. He went home. They come back, got him again, and took him back. What a story. Reality. That's where Voice of the Martyrs came from. It was spawned out of his life. So Paul knows about sufferings here, and he knows what it's for, and it's for the body's sake. Huh? The church. Here's the reality. I think churches in America qualify closer and for they are more related to Laodicea than they want to say they are. Because we're rich and increased with goods, we don't think we need anything. We need the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We need the Word of God. That's why it's not standing room only on Sunday nights. I spoke to a pastor on the way here, coming home from Mississippi yesterday, and spoke to him on the phone. He said, man, he said, if 50% of my people came back on Sunday night that was there on Sunday morning, I'd consider building another sanctuary. He said, we are full on Sunday. He said, but they won't come back. We're really suffering for the body. Paul knew about it. Stay with me. Don't fall out. I'm talking about the mystery of the indwelling. It's a mystery why anybody would do the things Brother Wurmbrand done. It's a mystery why Paul suffered. Why would he do that? Because there's a greater power living in Paul than Paul himself. That's why. Whereof I am made a minister. According to the dispensation of God. I love that word right there. Which is given to me for you. To fulfill the word of God. That means to fill it up. Now the dispensation of God is the stewardship, if you would, that was given to Paul. It was appointed, given to Paul. And a steward does what? He gives out what the master owns. He don't own it. He's just steward over what somebody else owns. Amen. But he is in charge of doing something with what the owner has given him. Are you with me? So Paul has been given this charge. The Lord said, I'm going to show him what things he's going to suffer for me. And he gave him, oh my. But to fulfill the word of God means to fully teach the word. Paul wasn't interested in their economy. He wasn't interested in who won the games at Athens. He wasn't worried about these things. You know what he's going to do? Here's what God gave me to do. It's this dispensation, this stewardship of mine is to give out the word of God. You know what we need to do? What I think we do here, what we need to continue to do and do more so, is give out the word of God. You can't go wrong giving out the word. And once we give out the word, fully give it out. Once we give out the word of God, listen, friend, it's the Holy Ghost's responsibility then to do something with it. We are under no more obligation. Now we think we are, but we are not. Listen, I like what Freddie Melton said. We're seed sowers and water boys. We're to just take this, Throw it out there, pour the water of the word on it, and let God do with it what he will. That's why a lot of people sitting in churches say at church, service after service, ignore this kind of stuff right here that I'm doing tonight, bores them to tears. Now, if I'd run a lap or two and jump a pew, they'd go home and say, wow, what a service we had. I started checking people. Here's what I say. What'd they preach on? I don't know, but it's good. It wasn't that good, or you'd know. What's Paul saying? He said, here it is for me. It's given to me, but it's given to me, and it's for you. To fulfill the word of God. To fill it up. Now, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, I want to go somewhere right here. The things that was given to the children of Israel. We know that God gave them to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And God gave them the word to preserve it and to keep it. And they did. He gave them the law, and he gave them the land, and he gave them the promise of a Messiah. Don't seem like too big a mystery. That's why they couldn't understand when Jesus came, why he didn't come in, knock the power out from under the Romans, set up the temple, the Jews would reign and rule with Christ. It's a done deal. They missed it. It's a mystery. Why was it so mysterious? Because there had to be a cross before there's a crown. The Lord was speaking of a spiritual kingdom. That's why when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he said, how can a man, when he's old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a spiritual indwelling. The first mystery in the fulfillment of it was this, that God was manifest in the flesh. He's seen of the angels. Listen, all these things. What was it? Jesus put this on that he could live, that we could have him in here. It's a mystery. The world goes, born again. And I've had them ask me, you one of them born again people? Yeah. That'd be me. How does that happen? I said, well, the Spirit of God gets convicted. You make you feel like a low-down, dirty dog. You know you're a sinner doomed for hell, and you need to do something about it. And the sweet Spirit of God says, come if you want to. How sweet. Folks, I just don't get it, don't want it, and you won't have it. He won't make you take it. Any man, I come in. We have the mystery of the ages. I want you to listen to this. Here this mystery is. I think this is as good as it gets. You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you. Now I'm in Ephesians. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. How did he do it? How did he just say he done that? Revelation. Now, what was revealed to us? Yeah, and we were lost. The Spirit of God. He said, you're lost. You may have made fun of it. You may have been an atheist, an agnostic. I don't know, whatever it is. Just an unbeliever or a make-believer. One day the Holy Ghost gave you a revelation. You thought, whoo, I don't have what they just talked about. He just read that out of that book, and I don't have that. He made known unto thee the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, begotten by the Word. which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, I like this. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's how we get it. It's a mystery to the world, but to us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it's the power of God. That's how I got in. I seen him on a cross. And I knew that should have been me. Ha. And that was for me. And that was for you. It wasn't for just the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. It's for every lost individual that doesn't know Christ. Listen, every whosoever. That's me. I'm a whosoever guy. Can't talk me out of it. So it's all told to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews, that the prophets of old, even they didn't understand. Well, I like this illustration. I can't remember who gave this, but I never forgot it. They said, you know what? Those guys were getting that prophecy, and they were pinning her down, putting it on parchment or however they done it. And God showed them a mountain. And a mountain in the Bible represents kingdoms. And God showed them a mountain. But what they couldn't see is that there's another mountain on the other side. And that mountain had the other mountain blocked. But it was still there. And if they'd have got up high enough, they'd have seen both mountains. But they couldn't see them both. They knew there's a mountain there. Why? Because the writings they had showed them that mountain. Now, when this book was completed, you know what it done? Showed us both mountains. They had trouble with anybody else being involved but them. They still do. So, with that being given, he'd give them the land. He'd give them all these things. Now, when we go back to verse 27, it's manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So now, I'm going back to Ephesians. I've got to read you something else. Now listen real close here. Ephesians, I'm going to that 3:16 that's talking about. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. There's the mystery of the indwelling. When we get saved, he don't change the outside. Now, he may clean us up and he does some things. I'm not going down that. I used to be far more legalistic, I think, than I am now. And I pray that I don't get so that I'd be classified as liberal by any means. But I think I'm going on record here before I get dig too deep a hole. I think the house of God ought to be reverenced. Amen. I think the house of God ought to be respected. Amen. Listen, I think when you come to an altar to pray, you shouldn't worry about showing your backside. Amen. Listen, now, does that apply to lost people? No. Amen. Why? Because they haven't been taught any better and they don't know. I'm not going to run them off at the door, and we should help them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should do that. Amen. But it's the inner man that he saves. He saved my soul. My body's going to die. He didn't save my body. I'll get a new body, John. That's right. I'll get a new body. Trade in on a brand new model. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There it is again. Remember what we read over in Colossians? If you continue in faith. The only thing Paul said he ever kept was faith. Finished the course. Hey, listen. I fought a good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. Well, that's a 3-point outline right there that'll preach till doomsday. hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. What is that? That's the evidence that it's changed. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to us Gentiles, here we are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how he gets in. Paul said in Galatians 2, and verse 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. That means he died with him. But nevertheless, I live. Crucified men don't survive. So I'm glad that Jesus was crucified and rose again so I could live in him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth. That's a mystery to a lot of folk. That was a mystery to the Jew. They couldn't get over that hump. Paul, they would have probably left Paul alone till he mentioned the Gentiles in Acts. And when he mentioned the Gentiles coming in, it's a done deal. We're killing you. We don't want them. But he's telling them, said, everybody can have it. They couldn't see it. Everyone can have it. Christ in you, me, us, the church. It's the hope of glory. Amen. That's a strange, I don't know why God done it that way. It would have made it easier. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, he's a little Calvinistic, by the way, but Spurgeon said that he wished that God had put a yellow stripe up on everybody that had been saved, and he said, I'd run down the street jerking the shirt tails up. God didn't do it that way. Now, if we were like the Hindus and God saved us, put a big red dot right there. Everybody you see have a red dot. Say, well, they're saved. They got the dot. He didn't do it like that. I tell you what that dot means. Means you've been praying. So when I see one of them wearing that dot, I say, you been praying? Oh, yeah. Who you praying to? Oh, I never heard so many names in my life. I said, do you know that there's one way to heaven? Oh, no. And Jesus is God. No, he's not God. He's not. Jesus is not God. I said, oh, yeah, he is. You're going to find out. You're going to find out. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I just try to leave him with that. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Paul says, this is the hope. We have it in us. It's the hope of glory. And it's Christ in us, whom we preach, warning every man. Now the word warning here, I just learned this afternoon. I hadn't researched this in the original language. But it said it doesn't mean danger. Like we would think, if you warn somebody, you warn them of something that's going to hurt them. But it means to put it in their mind. I like that. It means to want to put it in their mind. That's why we do this. We're trying to put it in the minds of the people. We're trying to get the people to think on these things. Try to get it in their mind. You know when the Bible says in your heart that it really, really, it's talking about your understanding. It's not the organ that beats, pumps the blood. You still with me? I hear the wind blowing or something out there. That's warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, I want to read you something. This is Bible study now. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but listen close. How could Paul teach in all wisdom? I mean, is that not a bold statement? Listen, that we might teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, I don't know anybody that can lay claim to that. Do you? Now, I know some that think they can. But by them thinking they can, shows that they don't. Listen to this. We're getting the right place. But when it pleased God, this is Paul speaking. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know why he could lay claim to all wisdom? Because weren't no man teaching him. I got nothing against education. We've educated some pretty silly people. They come out with a lot of head knowledge. They don't know anything about the Word of God. They don't know anything about the Spirit of God. They have no spiritual discernment. They don't know. They do a job. They try to operate the church like a business. They try to put every single thing, 25 committees. I'm going to know how much you spend on a roll of toilet paper. Listen, as long as I'm here, we're going to buy toilet paper, and nobody's going to vote on it. It wasn't men. Men do silly things. This book will never lead you wrong. Never lead you. This book will never lead you wrong. Never. Among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. They were some guys already in the business of preaching. They had the Holy Ghost about them. They knew what they was doing, but Paul didn't go talk to them. I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. God took him out there and taught him himself. Paul went, he didn't confer with flesh and blood. You know why he could say he got all wisdom? Because he'd been given all wisdom. You know the one that can give you all wisdom? If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of. Thank you. That's where it comes from. It'd do us all good to pray for more of that. Make us keep our tongue frozen to the roof of our mouth a lot of times. We'd just go on about our business. Verse 29, I'm done. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to what? Whose work? Striving according to which worketh in me mightily. Now, here's what I want to comment on that just briefly. I've been at this long enough to learn one or two things. Maybe not three, but I have learned one or two. And I have found that God's plan and his agenda and mine sometimes don't line up. Well, most of the time they don't line up. God does things and he doesn't do them. I'm a mash the gas kind of guy. Pat said I'm a procrastinator, but if I ever get started on something, I'm a nut job until it's done. Then I'll procrastinate about something else. She said, but you obsess when you start with something. That's right. But more than once, God's thrown the brakes on me, and I thought it was a train wreck. And things didn't go here like I thought they should, and people left, and I didn't understand it. And I'd whine and cry and be depressed for about a month. And all of a sudden, Brother Danny, the Lord said, hey,
What I called you to do? Preach the word. You just preach the word. Do what you can, because you can't do it all, but you can do some, you can do something. And leave the rest to me. And I'll put who I want, when I want, and how I want. And you are not going to understand it. But then after it's all said and done, you turn around and go, wow, look here, oh, I've seen that. No, we didn't. No, we didn't see it. But God seen it. He was in my past. He's in my present. He's already in my future. It's His work. And if I work in Him and through Him and by Him, and how am I going to know how to do that? Because of that indwelling. He'll be satisfied, and my life will be a lot better. Three things I pray for daily. I've taken this upon. We've been doing it for a little while. There's three things I think I need desperately bad. You might agree or disagree. One, I need wisdom. I pray for wisdom. Two, I need vision. I got to have a vision. I've seen a thing or two. I've shared it with some of you, not all of you, because if I shared it with all, it would scare you to death. But I need discernment. I need wisdom. I need vision. And I need discernment. The church needs wisdom, vision, and discernment. Then He can work mightily. His work through us. Come get us a song. How? By the indwelling that is in us.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.